Hi, it's Dave. Welcome, guys. This is a live stream, and we got some crazy news that Tesla just announced this morning. Tesla has reported complete blowout quarterly numbers. I mean, these numbers are literally insane. To give you some context, I've been following Tesla for almost a decade religiously. Every quarter, I follow their quarterly earnings, their production, their deliveries, their everything. And you know, there's a few moments where you're just kind of, there are record kind of earnings, right? And the first of that was probably in 2013, May 8th, and Tesla reported their first GAAP earnings. It was kind of a make it, break it moment. People were thinking Tesla might go bankrupt, but Tesla just pulled out a miracle, reporting profits. Another kind of record earning that kind of blew people away, I think it was around 2015, I forget which quarter, but Jerome Guillen kind of referred to, hinted at kind of, you know, good deliveries, and Tesla really reported high deliveries. However, back then, deliveries were kind of like up and down. So you might have a good quarter, and the next quarter, it kind of wasn't that good, right? And it kind of followed the calendar cycle. So Q4 was the highest, then Q1 kind of wasn't that great. And you had a lot of hits and misses over the years. But it wasn't until, you know, just a couple years ago that Tesla hit its stride, getting the Model 3 up and ramping, becoming profitable for the past 2 years. And this is kind of like the first quarter where Tesla has really delivered a crazy quarter. So what do we mean by a crazy quarter? So they announced 308,000 deliveries, vehicle deliveries. This is much higher than the 266,000 that analysts were expecting. This is actually about almost a 15% beat. And to give you some context, you don't beat 15% with car deliveries, because this is stuff that is easily, I would say easily, but you can forecast, you could see, like analysts can look at, you know, the supply chain, they could look at the stores and deliveries. So it's not easy to beat by 15%, right? This is insane. And if you look at year over year, Tesla has crushed it too. I'm gonna look at some of the numbers here for you guys to give you some context of what's going on here. So let's look at first Q4. We've got 13,000 production Model S and X's, deliveries 11,750. Model 3, we have 292 production and 296 deliveries. So it comes out to be 308,600 vehicles. Now this is 40,000 more than expectations, right? We're talking about a crazy beat. Let's compare this to Q4 of 2020 here. Just 1 year ago, Tesla delivered 180,000 vehicles, right? That was a record quarter for Tesla. But now just fast forward, just, you know, four quarters later, and you have a jump from 180,000 to 308,000 vehicles. It's insane. Let's look at year over year numbers. If you look at 2021, you have Model S and X is 24,000 in 2021. Model 3 and Y was 906,000 production, and total deliveries was 936,000 vehicles delivered. So let's compare this to 2020. And if you look at this, we had only 499,000 vehicles delivered. So let's go ahead and if you calculate this, this is almost a double in a single year. If you think about it, 500 to almost a million. I think it's about, I calculated about 87% year over year growth rate for Tesla. And if you think about this, Tesla has been guiding 50%, right, or so, and they just delivered at 87% year over year growth. So they completely smashed their own guidance, their own expectations. Now, this is fantastic on a few fronts, because one, Tesla is in this groove where they're guiding conservatively. And I love it. They don't say like, oh, we're going to hit a million, and then they shoot or they deliver less. No, they say we're going to do 50%. So they actually guided for 750,000 vehicles delivered this year, but they smashed it by delivering 936,000 vehicles. So yeah, this is a great kind of strategy by Tesla, you know, bring expectations low, 50%, and then crush them if you can, right? And I wrote down, I gave a tweet out just a little bit ago. I said, with 305,800 vehicles produced this quarter, Tesla's annual production run rate is already 1.22 million cars. They just need 69,200 vehicles per quarter of added production to reach a 1.5 million annual run rate. This possibly happens in quarter two. So yeah, they're already at 1.22 million cars. It could be a little higher because the December quarter run rate might be higher. But yeah, think about it. They're already 1.2, 1.3 million deliveries or for next year. And this is analyst expectations, right, for 2022. But they've already reached that run rate in 2021. We're looking for, yeah, a lot of stuff to happen. All right, so let's take a step back here. And let's talk about it for a second. What are the key takeaways here? Okay, so first off, I think in the bigger picture, we have this bigger story of Tesla is silencing the critics. There are a lot of concerns going into this quarter. So you had supply chain issues that could have limited production. I mean, it almost hit every automaker. Like I went to IC automaker lot yesterday, the day before, and they barely had any cars on the lot. And it's like a huge production problem for most automakers. But Tesla is somehow defying that. And they're making the most cars ever, almost like there was no supply chain issues at all. It's like crazy what Tesla's doing. A lot of people also thought that people might postpone deliveries, thinking that the EV tax credit will be passed next year. So you had maybe delivery postponements. But yeah, people took deliveries and they delivered more than they even produced this quarter. Analyst consensus, like I shared earlier, was between 260 and 270. For this quarter. Tesla smashed it at 308,000. So how is this possible? I think the big kind of factor is probably Shanghai. So I was DMing with Troy Tesla, who kind of, you know, makes this his main thing of forecasting delivery numbers. He's actually been a longtime Tesla bull. Back in the days of Tesla Motors Club, TMC. Yeah, I think he goes back way down, back to like 2013. So he's been doing this for a while. And he's saying that in October, he's tracking Shanghai production to be about 55,000, in November, 57,000, and in December, 65,000. So if you look at that, he's thinking production in Shanghai jumped from 55,000 to 65,000 in just 2 months. If you extrapolate the 65,000 production rate in Shanghai, that's actually a 780,000 annual run rate right there, right? Basically 800,000. If you tack on, Fremont, if they can get up to 500,000, that's a 1.3 million run rate right there, just with those two factories. But that's not even including Austin and Berlin. So what it comes down to is, I think like Tesla can meet, expectations of these analysts with just their Fremont and Shanghai factories. They don't even need the Berlin and Austin factories to meet most of the analysts' 2022 expectations. But no, we have these two crazy factories, right, that are going to come online in 2022. All right, second takeaway here is, I think analysts are going to have to revise their 2022 numbers. Now, this is kind of like the key takeaway here. Because Tesla, and it's a cool setup because Tesla has been conservative. They kind of sandbagged their guidance with 50% growth. And so most analysts, they have to kind of revert to that mean or to that 50% if they don't know what they're doing. So across the board, analyst expectations have been quite low. And when you deliver an 87% growth rate and you deliver 936,000 cars, and most people were just expecting 850, right? Maybe max 900,000 cars. This is crazy. It's crazy to grow at that scale, right? We're talking about a huge supply chain. You need batteries, you need all the supplies, you need the factories. Everything has to move in lockstep. Again, Elon says one part missing, right? Throws off everything. So it's crazy to scale at that level, but that's what Tesla is doing. Now, analysts, because they're estimating just between 1.2 and 1.3 million this year, they're going to have to increase that number. And I think they're going to have to increase at least 100,000. I mean, still, that will be conservative. But by increasing it at least 100,000 across the board, across the analysts, it's going to be boosting their revenue, their gross profit, their earnings, and their valuations. I'm going to go more into the details on the spreadsheet in a little bit here. All right. The third takeaway, and this is kind of my last major one is that I think Q4, we're going to see some shockingly big margins from Tesla. And the reason is because Tesla's business is the more cars they make, the higher margins they earn. And part of it is you're using the same labor force, right? You're just getting more efficient. You're using the same machinery, the same factories. You're just pumping out more cars. So you're basically taking everything you have and you're just, you know, getting more out of it. So therefore you're increasing your margins that you get per car. I think Tesla could hit over 30% gross margins without regulatory credits in Q4. And I think this is going to shock analysts, right? See, analysts, they love these numbers. They love gross margins, operating margins, like all this stuff they can make sense of it because it could fit into their spreadsheets. And I think you could look at perhaps a 16, 17%, maybe even 18% operating margin, which would be insane. I mean, these are numbers that most analysts never thought Tesla would ever achieve. And they're numbers that analysts just, they totally salivate over, right? They love this stuff, right? So anyways, I'm expecting probably the biggest quarter ever when Tesla reports quarters just in a few weeks. Let's go ahead and I want to go into the spreadsheet now. And this is kind of crazy. So I want to show you this numbers here. So we have Q3 numbers here on this, in this line here. So Tesla delivered, you know, 241,000 vehicles. We had a 30.5% gross margin, but that was with regulatory credits, right? And then you had an operating margin of 14.6%. Now this, if you look at operating margin, you're going from 5% to 11% to 15%, basically, almost, in just a couple quarters. And I think this is why we saw the breakout to all-time highs in recent months, is because you saw this crazy operating leverage that analysts are starting to understand that Tesla, yeah, is hugely profitable. You had net income of about $2.1 billion non-GAAP. So this was a fantastic quarter last year. So I want to show you some stuff here. So I was expecting, this is my kind of Q4 estimates, at the very beginning of the quarter, kind of maybe even pre Q3. This is just kind of what I was kind of conservatively expecting. So I was saying, okay, 270,000 vehicles. Let's keep the gross margin similar. And then let's go ahead and we have operating margin similar, 15%. And even that, you get a $2.44 billion non-GAAP, right, profit, which is huge. And so even with 270,000 vehicles, keep the margin similar, you have a great quarter for Q4. And I was actually expecting the EV tax credit, right, to kind of postpone a lot of deliveries. So I kind of made Q4 a bit conservative. But I revised my Q4 delivery numbers kind of mid-quarter or so. And I said, okay, if they hit 285,000, let's say we kind of be more aggressive and we imagine a bit. And let's say we have auto gross margin with regulatory credits at about 31.6%. And then you get operating margin at 16.7%. What's going to happen to net income? You're going to basically see it at $2.7 or $2.8 billion, right? That's crazy. I mean, that's over $10 billion. That's like $11 billion run rate in just income. And so I thought this was kind of going to be the best case. But now that Tesla has reported Q4, I've had to revise my Q4 estimates again. So this is the third time revising it. But if you notice, they're always going upward. So here's Q4 estimates here. We just got 308,600 vehicles delivered. We have a 32.4% auto gross margin. So if you take away the regulatory credits, I'm thinking you have maybe 30 to 31% gross margins without regulatory credits. This is going to be crazy. Auto analysts are just going to flip out. You know, they love margins. And take out this, now this is the killer. When I calculate this, if they actually get these margins, see, the killer thing about Tesla's business model is their operating expenses don't really go up that much. And still, people are still figuring this out. But see, their operating margins are usually mostly just core Tesla related, meaning these are the engineers, their autopilot, their kind of, you know, maybe their sales, right? Their marketing, they don't have much marketing, but their sales, stores, you know, other stuff like that, admin. So this stuff doesn't go up as fast as the ramping of the vehicles, because every person that they hire to build the cars, let's say they hire 10,000 people to build cars, or say in Austin or Berlin, those 10,000 people, the labor actually goes into cost of goods. So where does it go? It goes up here, right? This is basically before the auto gross margin. You already are calculating in the labor to build the cars in the cost of goods up there. So by the time you get to the operating expenses, you're not calculating extra labor or cost to build extra cars in Austin or in Berlin, right? You might calculate some labor to kind of, some personnel within the factories that are kind of working on other stuff, but the actual labor to build the cars is already built into the auto gross margin. Therefore, Tesla's operating expenses are not increasing that fast at all. They can ramp Austin and Berlin, and their operating expenses won't go up that much. That's the killer thing. This is the thing that's going to define 2022 in a sense. We're going to see Tesla massively increase, revenue, but their operating expenses probably aren't going to go up that much because, they're not going to hire like 10,000 more autopilot engineers or something, right? Or battery engineers. What's left over is their income is going to go up that much more. So if you look at this, I took a Q3 operating expenses. I added about $120 million to those. I got $1.77 million in operating expenses. And then I'm getting operating margin of 18.4%. Now, here's the thing. This number of 18.4%, this is going to just crush any analyst's kind of imagination or just their complete sense of reality. I mean, 18.4% is unheard of in the auto industry. Like, this is crazy. This is ridiculous. If Tesla actually does this. But my numbers, I don't know. Obviously my numbers could be off, but are they really off that much? And the key thing is, it's the numbers. It starts, all of Tesla's numbers, it all starts with the deliveries, right? Because the deliveries lead to the revenue, right? And you got high revenue because you got high prices this quarter. Tesla has jacked the prices on all their vehicles up. So you got super high prices, and then you've got high margins because Tesla's efficient. Unless they're paying like an arm and a leg for these parts, but they've shown in Q3 that they don't, right? That they can actually make high margins even in supply chain crunches. And then the only other numbers here is you have the operating expenses, and possibly Tesla could be ramping a lot faster than I'm expecting. And we could see this number at 1.8 or 1.9 million, but still that doesn't really change a ton. Let's go ahead and add $250 million to operating expenses from last quarter. Let's say we have $1.9 million from last quarter. That's still a 17.6% operating margin. Right? This is probably, I don't want to say worst case, but this is like a conservative case if operating expenses really went up much higher than I expected or expect. But I'm expecting not that much. We'll see. But 18.4%. The net income is $3.2 billion, right? Okay, let's get some context in this. What does it mean, $3.2 billion? Well, the last quarter they reported $2.1 billion. Okay, so think about $2.1 billion to $3.2 billion. That's like a 50% increase. In one quarter, quarter over quarter, Tesla profits can increase 50%. Like, that is insane. I don't think there's any analyst out there that's actually estimating this or predicting this, what's going to happen, right? This is just ridiculous. And this is why this quarter is so crazy. Because when you outperform, when you execute in a sense, you just deliver 15% more cars, all of your numbers get better because Tesla's operating or their business model is so sensitive to, the number of cars they produce. So if they go from $2.1 to $3.2 billion in non-GAAP, you get a 50% increase in non-GAAP earnings. That's insane. Let's extrapolate that out. $3.2 billion times 4, $13 billion annual run rate, right? In non-GAAP income. Insane, crazy stuff. So here's another factor going on. This is going to be even bigger than all this. So these are the numbers I had calculated kind of in Q3 for the rest of the year. This is before, you know, I had to revise my Q4 numbers up 2 times. But I was thinking, okay, Q1, 310,000, then it goes up 340, 370, 400. I mean, it's hard to pinpoint it, but I'm like, yeah, if those numbers like mean anything, like, yeah, let's go ahead and like, let's look at what that is. So that's 1.4. Okay, so yeah, if Tesla delivers this stuff, they get 1.4 million cars, let's say, for 2022. But here's the thing. It's like, let's actually get rid of this because I want to show you, focus on the other numbers here. But my numbers were now, if you look at it, they're conservative. But these numbers are actually higher than most all analysts out there, because most analysts are actually predicting a lot less cars, right? Less than 1.3 million. But I was predicting, let's say, okay, 30.5% going up to 31.5% gross margin. But if Tesla is at ready, if they're ready at 32.4% gross margin, this is with regulatory credits, then all of these numbers have to be revised at least to equal, right, this quarter's gross margins. That means everything is going to go up. And then if you're getting almost 310,000 vehicles in this quarter, that means all the other quarters you're going to have to kind of revise up, because look, I have next quarter at 310,000, which you could, but still, it's like, you know, it's already kind of low. And then look at the operating margins here. I had operating margins at 16%, gradually trending up to 18% at the end of the year. But if you're already at 18% operating margins in this quarter, then yeah, everything has to be revised upwards. And then I had all these GAAP numbers, non-GAAP numbers, from starting from a 2.9 up to $4 billion. All of these numbers have to be revised upwards. So what am I saying here? I'm saying, hey, what this quarter means for Tesla is basically it's a shocker, not just in this like, oh, okay, that was great, Tesla executed. No, it's a shocker in the sense of it squeezes the numbers for all the analysts going forward, like all their quarterly numbers. Like all the analysts out there, they all have their spreadsheets. They all have their quarterly numbers, right, that they're forecasting for the next year or 2 years. And now it's completely outdated, meaning all of their numbers don't make sense because they're too low. And so analysts are going to have to revise, right, this quarter, but also the next quarter's estimates up. And this is why this announcement is so significant. It's crazy. So, all right, so let's talk about a couple of things. Let's talk about some risk factors. So there are some risks where I think Tesla's benefited from this supply chain shortage in some ways, where even though they've had their own difficulties, they've been allowed to raise prices and to have higher margins partially as a result. But while other car manufacturers, right, have been hurt, and the supply and production of cars are so low, it actually, you know, helps Tesla's case in some ways. But what happens when the supply chain actually works out and gets alleviated and cars, you know, other car manufacturers are going back to their high levels of production? And let's say car prices start to level out again or lower, it could put some pressure on Tesla, where Tesla might have to lower their prices, which could impact margins. And again, analysts are very sensitive to margins. If margins are going down, then yeah, they're not very forgiving. Further, if there's no EV tax credit, let's say Build Back Better plan gets nixed, and there's no EV tax credit next year that gets, you know, passed, then yeah, there's this thing where Tesla can't just, you know, keep on increasing their prices. They have to be sensitive to the market condition. So, but on the flip side, this still isn't that devastating to Tesla, because they're still going to be super profitable. It might not be as high margins as, you know, maybe, you know, my spreadsheets were insinuating, like let's say over 30% without regulatory credits, but it might actually be, because it might be offset by the added efficiencies and the cost efficiencies from Austin and Berlin, the new factories, because especially when you get the 4680 cells that are getting to be integrated with the whole chassis, you're going to have some crazy cost efficiencies. And that in itself can actually boost Tesla's margins above 30% without regulatory credits. Overall, though, I think it's been a fantastic quarter by Tesla, where they completely out-executed all expectations. They worked through huge supply chain challenges. They literally sold every car they produced, because they sold more than they produced this quarter. And they worked tremendously hard, constantly defying expectations. I look at 2022, I think it's gonna be a record breakout year for Tesla. I think we have lots of exciting things ahead. We've got two new factories that haven't even started ramping, which is insane. We have new battery cells, right, in the 4680. We have constant full self-driving, right, beta improvements. We have a possible Cybertruck and semi-production starting. And we have more details on the product roadmap from Elon Musk at the next earnings report, which happens just probably in 3 or 4 weeks or so. So yeah, there's a ton of stuff happening. Exciting times, man. I'm telling you, we're at the cusp of kind of Tesla breaking out into this massive expansion and defying a lot of people's expectations in the process. All right, guys, what I want to do is I want to go ahead and respond to some of you guys' comments and make it a bit more interactive here. So if you go ahead, if you have a question, go ahead, write question in all caps with a colon and put your question. If you have a comment, you can put comment all caps. I'll kind of search for those type of comments, and we'll go ahead and spend a few minutes on kind of, All right, Stuart Price says, come on, Dave, Mary is leading EVs, Biden says. So. Yeah, if you don't get that, that's fine. David Gross says, congratulations, all Tesla enthusiasts and employees, especially Elon Musk. Yeah, there's been a lot of great stuff happening. And yeah, lots of things are going right for Tesla as well. Farzad says, what's the likelihood Tesla moves up the date of the earnings report? Yeah, I think... it's usually, you know, around like the third or fourth week. We'll see. I'm not too worried either way. To me, who cares if it's, you know, a little bit earlier or later. I think it's pretty much in the bag. When you have such a breakout in earnings and just you blow out the delivery numbers, like everything's got to be pretty good. I mean, I'd be shocked if we don't see like tons of record numbers. Dave, do you have heard any firm date for Berlin's factory opening yet? No, I think they're still waiting on final approval. They do have supposedly a bunch of cars they've already produced for testing. So yeah, I think they're just waiting. Eka Bob says, question, time to buy calls expiring in 2024. Yes, I mean, it's all risk and reward, you know, like on one hand, and it's all personal too. Stock provides actually a lot of a decent risk-reward balance, because there's no time expiration, right? You're not losing time premium. But on the flip side, if you're impatient, yeah, you know, you could take those extra risks, especially if you can recoup the cost if things go different. All right, Sebastian, can we have an interview with Troy Teslyk? Yeah, I actually love Troy Teslyk in a sense. I appreciate him deeply because he really, you know, does his work. I DM him for questions, he answers. And I've asked him several times to do an interview, but he's actually prefers not to be on camera and prefers to be more anonymous. So Tesla community is awesome. It's got like all these different people, you know, pitching in for a lot of different things. Yeah, any estimates on the China Fremont breakdown? Yeah, I actually asked Troy Teslyk like this morning about that. He was saying that it's basically global production minus, you know, China production equals Fremont production. I think he was estimating Fremont production to be like 110,000 or so this quarter. About 100,000 Model 3 and Y, plus the extra, I guess, was it 13,000 or so of Model S and X's. PK, if you are rich thanks to Tesla, you deserve it. Well, yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of people working. I think sometimes you get lucky too, you know, especially, yeah, things have to go right. T TJ's Lynn says, can't wait for a grand opening of Austin. Yeah, this is going to be fantastic, the grand opening. I was talking to Sawyer Merritt, who proposed the idea of a grand opening party. And he was thinking maybe in March or so, we'll see. I think Austin will start producing cars pretty much right away in January. I think everything's ready to go there. Oliver Thomas says, new price target for the end of the year, 2022. Yeah, to me, it's kind of fool's errand, like work to try to come up with a specific price target, you know, on a short-term basis, because there's so much things that can go wrong with the market, with macro conditions, with, you know, exuberance, depression, all this stuff. But yeah, I shared in my interview with Emmett, I thought Tesla could trade between 800 and 2200 this year. His expectations was 800 and 2000. After this report, yeah, I think it's the low end might be too low in a sense, where I might need to boost it up, you know, maybe a trading level 900 to 1,000 up to maybe 2,200. We'll see. A lot of things can happen, right? And I don't even know if Tesla gets up to 2,200 this year, like, is it deserved? Well, yeah, investors give what, you know, Tesla deserves, but a lot of it is predicated on execution. Tesla continues to grow and meets, you know, a lot of their goals. So, yeah, for me, I kind of like kicking back. In my interview with James Dama, I released yesterday, he was like, yeah, he doesn't even care about stock prices or fluctuations because he's just kind of focused more on the long term and the company's execution. And I have kind of part of me, I have that mind too, where it's, you know, what's the point of, you know, caring whether the stock is at 1500 or 500 or 2000 or whatever. It more important is the trajectory of the company. Is the company executing and working toward these super ambitious goals that if they reach them, then their valuation is going to be multiple times than it is now. That's what I'm kind of looking for. But following stock price is fun. James Dom was saying, yeah, it's a learning process. It's, you want to keep up to date. You want to have a pulse on things and what's going on. So yeah, it's fun to comment and to be together with you guys in this journey. Yeah, it's actually been... Yeah, this journey, Robin Ray, thanks for being our guide throughout this journey. Well, yeah, I'm just, you know, one person chipping in, but yeah, it is a journey. It's an adventure. Who knows what's going to happen? And it's all new and fresh and exciting. And I think this is probably one of the most exciting, not just companies, but growth stories and companies that is trying to make a positive impact in the world, right? They really have a vision, not just to maximize shareholder value, but they want to actually make a big difference. And actually change the course of history, right? I think Tesla is already doing it. What other companies making, of course, there are different companies that are making big impacts in different areas of the world. But if you look at these bigger humanity issues, right? If you look at climate change, huge issue, what other company is making as big of a dent in climate change as Tesla is? Kieran Mehta says, can Tesla touch 2 million deliveries in 2022. Yeah, I think that's a stretch. I'm not going up that far. I think, Tesla management has been clear that Austin and Berlin, yeah, the first 6 months, they're not going to produce a ton of cars, right? If you look at Shanghai factory launch 2, it's like, yeah, you got to be a bit conservative with these launches. The first year, really, you just want them to launch well, right? And you're going to see a lot bigger volumes. The volumes will start to come up second half for sure, but then the second year is you're going to see like a lot more volume. So this bodes well for 2023 especially. All right, create your worth. Question, what do you expect the stock to do tomorrow? Yeah, so nobody can be foolproof in predicting stock prices, obviously. Everything's a guess. That's if you could predict every day's stock price before, you know, it happens, you'd be obviously the richest person in the world because you could just trade that. But yeah, my guess, is it does, you know, jump up, and I expect a very good week. And I want to say that, I mean, that's the least I expect. But not just that, even if there's some macro concerns and let's say the stock doesn't respond very well, as well as some people expect, we've got a great catalyst in earnings. And this is how I look at it, is earnings provides the details that analysts need to know to really firm up their you know, kind of estimates and revise them upwards. Because these delivery numbers, they're great, but still analysts have some question marks, some uncertainties. Wait, what was really the operating margin? What was the gross margin? Like, you know, what are their operating expenses? All sorts of stuff. So they want to, you know, flesh out these numbers accurately before really being confident enough to like say, okay, fine, we revise the next four quarters like upwards. And so I mean, you might see some revisions already, but I think Q4 earnings is going to be a great catalyst. It just cements a lot of the stuff that these delivery numbers have already shown. And so we've got, I think, a great month. I mean, here's the thing, with a stock like Tesla that's heavily traded, that's volatile, it's based on future earnings, it's going to go up and down like crazy, right? I mean, that's the thing. It'll go up and down, but I think we have a great month ahead. Yochin Nader says, what's your thoughts on Polestar? Yeah, Polestar, I'm not seeing a ton of people who are dying for Polestar cars. I mean, maybe, but I don't know. If you're a Polestar fan, enlighten me. I don't know. Maybe it's a European thing. Maybe people in Europe are wanting the cars more than people in the US. But yeah, I want to see kind of that passion for the vehicle. Maybe they, you know, because they're owned by Geely or whatever, like maybe they have an inroad into China expansion too. I'm not going to, discount them. But yeah, I want to see kind of execution and a lot more demand. Levan Tuan Lang says, what do you think about Tesla insurance potential? Long term, I think it has great potential. Tesla's insurance is interesting because one, they don't need to market it that much because it's like part of the car experience. A lot of insurance is heavily, you know, they put a lot into marketing and there's heavy churn, all this stuff. But Tesla has a fundamentally different model where, yeah, it's like word of mouth. If they give a fundamentally better product, which they are to a lot of people because it's, you know, really tailored to your individual use. And it could be a lot cheaper. So yeah, they kind of like have reinvented the insurance model. The problem with Tesla insurance initially is that the scaling is slow because it's a very regulated industry. You have to go state by state and people have to, you know, insurance, you have to have this kind of credibility and trustworthiness. So they have to build that over time. But over time, I think it becomes an important part of the Tesla moat, the Tesla advantage, where you have the complete experience, right? You have the car, you have the autopilot, the full self-driving, you have the insurance that's already combined, you have the robotaxis that you lend out, you have the superchargers, you have everything combined, right? And everything works together with your home, solar, etc. Brendan says, yeah, this is even after they de-emphasize the end of delivery push, yeah. Elon says, don't even worry about it, right? And then they just kill it. It's crazy. Hi, Dave. What should be the P over E after this quarter? If we're looking at, if I go back to my numbers really quick, if we go and if we really hit $3.2 billion, it'll go down. The other thing is we have this tax deferred kind of favorability thing that's going on. I'm going to be interviewing James Stevenson. He's on Twitter under I cannot underscore enough. But we're going to talk about a bit about what does that mean, this tax deferred favorability, one-time kind of expense income. And basically, Tesla has had a lot of losses in previous years. And they're allowed to take all of those losses and basically expense it in one quarter. And they still have yet to do that. And it seems like it adds up to about $1.6 billion. So James thinks that Tesla is going to actually, you know, realize that this quarter, Q4. I think so too. I've been waiting every quarter for the past year. And if they do that, then you might actually see not a $3.2 billion, but like a $4.8 billion non-GAAP income. However, most analysts, all analysts will, you know, back out that one-time expense. That's fine. But on a lot of these, you know, finance sites, that's going to actually positively lower the POV multiple on all of these finance sites. So you're going to see actually a more reasonable to look out for. Aposi, can you speak on build quality of Tesla cars ramping production, but if quality is subpar, how do we reconcile that? Yeah, you know, I'm not too concerned. We're looking at next generation factory technologies. If you look at the build quality out of Shanghai, it's been fantastic, generally speaking. And I think it's because this is next level. I'm expecting the same thing out of Austin and Berlin. You're talking about next level manufacturing. Yeah, so it's going to, I'm looking forward to that. Liar's Dice says, any update on when we might expect the Elon interview? No word on that yet. Actually, anything helps if you guys, whenever you guys tweet it out, reply to Elon and stuff, all that stuff helps because, puts it on the radar. All right, Super Pup says, why did ARC sell so much? Yeah, ARC is, I think it's around 8% Tesla now. They have been selling some, and it's part of ARC's strategy, which makes sense. They want to kind of, reposition their portfolio to bet big on the stocks they think are down the most. And so they're, they've got big bets on Teladoc and Roku. They're putting money, I think, into Zoom and other stocks that they think are hit. And they think there's huge upside when it rebounds. And yeah, I mean, I'm not betting against ARK. I think they have actually one of the best teams out there. And I think their strategy does work out over time. It's just that you're going to have volatile years like this year. But yeah, that's the story behind ARK. What is the unit limit for Model 3 and why? There's only so many of a certain model you can sell. What is this for Model 3 and why? Yeah, Elon hinted at the Model Y limit. I think it's probably 1.2, 1.5 million. We'll see. But yeah, this is the great thing about Tesla is that they intentionally plan every model to, like, right when, Model 3 demand hits kind of peak or matures, you have Model Y coming in the ramp. And once Model Y demand hits close to maturity, then you have Model 2 or the next gen, right? The $25,000 vehicle hit production and ramp. So this is how Tesla operates. And you have Cybertruck as well and other vehicles in the future. So yeah, Tesla actually has a lot of vehicles, I think, planned. I think they still need the Tesla van. They can make a smaller pickup truck. There's actually a ton of different vehicle classes they can head into too. So whenever, there's a maturity in type of demand and they could see they can ramp the next vehicle segment, then they'll do so. I think Model Y will not be the bestseller vehicle for Tesla for too long. I think their next generation kind of platform will make that happen. Could 12.9 really be a 1 January 29 for a stock split? Yeah, no, I think stock split happens later this year. I think it needs to be above 1,000 for quite a bit. Maybe if it's 1,500, 1,600 by the summer, maybe Elon might start thinking about it. Yeah, Brooke Chen, when do you think Tesla can reveal a basic prototype for Tesla Bot? I think they're shooting for end of this year. And they want to show something, a proof of concept. It won't be for sale. It'll still be, pretty basic, but they want to show what's possible. And I think it's good chance, probably 70, 80% chance that they'll show something by the end of this year. Will Gordon Johnson finally turn bullish? Yeah, I don't expect him to turn bullish. I expect him more to just, like, over time phase out, kind of, just take a step back. But we'll see. Maybe he sticks around. It's 2030. Tesla is, like, whatever, multi-trillion valuation, and he's still at it. Who knows? I mean, think about it. He's still at it, and Tesla's, like, a $1 trillion valuation. Yeah. Sanjay says, when's the next Gigafactory announcement? Yeah, I would expect, maybe end of this year or next year sometime. Because they have their hands full with Berlin and Austin, right? I mean, these are huge factories, and they actually have huge expansion potential, right? Austin has such big land. I think Austin can go up to perhaps 2 million vehicles. Who knows? I mean, a lot of it is just, just build more stuff. It's like, a lot of it's also the batteries. Like, can you get all the batteries there too, right? Anthony says, imagine if Elon had asked for an end of a quarter push. I don't think it would have made that much of a difference. Tesla already sold more cars than they produce. They can't sell more, much more, you know, than they produce anyways. Okay, let's go ahead and I'm going to skip to... Yeah, Dave, when do we start seeing significant revenue from things other than cars out of Tesla? I think the big issue is obviously it's batteries and, you know, Tesla. Here's the thing about how to understand this is batteries obviously take priority because you have the most markup on batteries, right? For example, you know, you're able to get, you know, 30% gross margin or almost 20%, 18% hypothetically operating margin off of a $50,000 or $60,000 car. That's fantastic, right? Even with a Powerwall or something, you know, even if you have good margins, you still, it's not at the size of the revenue of a car. And therefore priority goes to these cars, generally speaking, until Tesla gets the supply they need, right? And that's why they're just crazily just going after any battery manufacturer saying, give us what you have at a reasonable price, at a price that we think works, and we'll buy as much as you can, because if we can't put it in cars, we'll stick it into energy storage. Tesla knows, I think, that they have pretty much almost unlimited demand with energy storage. So yeah, I think Tesla's energy storage is going to ramp accordingly as the battery kind of production challenges start to ease. But yeah, big part of it is, can Tesla ramp the 4680 cell successfully and quickly? Because if they can do that, then that's going to move everything super fast. I mean, that's going to supercharge production margins, you know, Tesla Powerwalls, like everything. You could really see a lot of good stuff happening with that. All right. Guys, this has been fun hanging out with you guys. Yeah, we've got an exciting week ahead. I've got a bunch more interviews coming up. So I'll release an interview tomorrow with James Stevenson. Tuesday night, I'll probably release it Wednesday morning with Dan Ives, analyst with Wedbush. If you have any kind of suggestions, go ahead and DM me on Twitter for people to interview as well. I'm also going to interview Palantir Vision. Want to give a chance for, to hear, you know, the bull case on Palantir. And so I'm looking forward to that interview. For those who don't know, I'm doing a fundraiser for Afghanistan. And if you've stuck on the live stream for this far, I think you should consider or think about, you know, the bigger picture of investing, which is, you know, a big part of it is finances, resources, independence, all that stuff to do what you need to do. But another part is to, do something beyond ourselves, right? And I think right now, with such a crazy crisis happening in Afghanistan, it's probably the world's worst crisis, with an economy shrinking 40% in just 4 months, half the country kind of being short of food, with millions of kids actually at the brink of starvation. This is crazy stuff. But yeah, I was able to find a nonprofit, build relationships. I did a pilot project with them, actually a few pilot projects over the past several months. Some of them were helping kind of more Afghan families get out of Afghanistan and through a third country. We did a pilot project with them. We spent $20,000 to do a food project. This was a few months ago, and I was impressed by this nonprofit and how they distributed the food. They actually spent the money on food, and they actually got it to people inside the country. I mean, that's what you're supposed to do in a food relief project, right? But a lot of times, you know, if you give to a nonprofit, you're not exactly sure if your money is exactly going to go to the cause or the place you want it to go, right? Because there's so many other costs. But I was actually super impressed that the money we sent, $20,000, actually went to the people, and they were able to prove it with pictures, receipts, lists of the people's names, etc. And I was able to do a few interviews with them offline and really kind of poke and make sure that they're, you know, they have the right processes and they're actually getting the food to the people inside Afghanistan. So anyways, the campaign is wrapping up today. Just we've got about maybe 10 hours left or so, and we're closing in at $420,000. If you're watching this, you could have a part to boost the campaign to over $420,000. And the nonprofit has assured me that they're trying to get 95% of the funds directly to purchase the food and get the food inside the country to the people in need. And they're working with a bunch of local organizations inside the country because it's kind of a coalition they're working with of different nonprofits. So they've got actually Afghanistan, like Rotary clubs and local organizations that are on the ground finding the people in need and the most in need and confirming, verifying that. And then they're doing the distribution through a bunch of different local groups together. So fun stuff. Anyways, hope that's been helpful, this whole live stream. I'm looking forward to 2022 lots of excitement with Tesla. I'm planning my personal schedule, kind of I'll probably be traveling a bit, I want to continue connecting with you guys. I'm looking to do maybe a possible long RV trip again with my family, maybe 3 or 4 months during the summer. I'm making some reservations right now. But anyways, have a great day, great weekend, and a great 2022. All right, see you guys. Bye.